Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you are aware that there's a little basketball tournament going on right now? I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but the NCAA men's tournament is happening, and one of the teams that's in that bracket is Michigan State, and they have a coach Izzo. And one of the earlier rounds, he had a freshman player, really good player. It was toward the end of the game, and the player, in the coach's mind, he didn't get back on defense. He didn't get back, and he hustled. And so what do you think? The coach called a timeout, and that player came up, and the coach said, "It's okay, son. You can do better next time." He got, you know, if you heard about this, he really got in his face and really kind of chewed this player up. And I was just thinking about how passionate this coach was, because this coach knows in the NCAA tournament, how many chances do you get to play? One. If you don't win that game, what happens? You're done. You're out. And I think maybe in that moment, the coach got a little excited, but he knew the seriousness of the moment, that it could take just one play and you could lose that game and your season can be over. And after a whole season of practice and challenging and pushing, the coach wanted this player to remember, it's one and done. Do you think we ever need that reminder? How many lives do we have to live? One, and then we're done. Okay, that may be a little morbid, but you know. But isn't that the honest? Sometimes I think we forget that, oh, I've got tomorrow. I've got other opportunities. And sometimes we need that coach. We need that encouragement. We need that motivation to say, you are so special. Play hard. Live hard. Win for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so today, I hope that today's a sermon of encouragement, that I don't chew you out too much, but that you may hear that God is here with you and for you, to remember that God loves you so much, but we are called to action, called to service, called to take this gift we have received through Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his death on the cross, and glorious resurrection, and we're sent in this world because we've got a part to play as we go and make disciples of all nations. And so this whole Lenten season, we've been talking about how Jesus has given us this command to love one another as he has loved us. That Jesus says we are the face of Christ. And this looks like as we go into this world that we forgive one another. We accept one another. We confess and pray for one another. Today we're talking about we encourage one another. Next Sunday, we submit to one another. And when we do these things, what do people see? We are the face of Jesus Christ. And so today we're talking about how God encourages. God is a God of encouragement. I love the way that God showed this to Jesus Christ, his own son. That when Jesus was in those waters of baptism, just as he's beginning his ministry, do you remember what the voice from heaven cried out to Jesus? The voice from heaven said, let's read this together. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I think we all want to hear that from our dads, right? You know, we all want to hear, you're loved. I'm pleased with you. You make me proud. And then as Jesus is doing his ministry and preparing to head to Jerusalem, Jesus has another moment when he goes up on a mountain and he appears with Moses and Elijah, and the disciples hear a voice from heaven. Let's read this verse together. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. And so God is encouraging his son, Jesus Christ, as he begins that journey to Jerusalem. He comes off that mountain. And what's he going to Jerusalem for? To die. And so as he faces this tough journey, he's got this voice of his father in the back of his head. I love you. You are my son. world, listen to him. And then Jesus, as he is preparing to leave, he tells his disciples that he's going to send them the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, right? And the paraclete is another word to say, I'm sending you the comforter, the encourager. And so I just think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is this encourager of us to remember everything that Jesus said to the disciples, to write it so that we can read it in God's word. But the Holy Spirit is the spirit of encouragement, the spirit of comfort, the spirit that says to each one of us in the waters of baptism, I love you so much. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. This is who you are. The Spirit continues to allow this voice of God, of encouragement, to be in our hearts and our lives. Jesus, again, on the night that he was betrayed, went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Peter and James and John, he pulled them aside and said, just, my soul is overwhelmed to sorrow to the point of death. Just stay here and watch with me. And Jesus went and prayed. And what did the disciples do? They fell asleep. Sometimes, when people need us, that encouraging word, we're tempted to lie down, say, let somebody else encourage, be there for them. Today, God has encouraged us so that we may encourage one another. Not lay down, but then when we have an opportunity to encourage, to lift up, to support, to strengthen, to do so. And so our text today is from Hebrews chapter 10, where we heard, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All right. I love that first phrase, let us spur one another on. What's a spur? What's it used for, right? You think of the cowboys, right? With the spur on the back of their boots, that when they spur a horse on, do you think that's a gentle, nice thing to do with a horse? No. Okay. Sometimes, do we need to be spurred on? Unfortunately, all right? Wives, you know your husbands, spur them on. Husbands, sometimes you know it with your wives, spur it. We all sometimes need to be spurred on, right? And so sometimes it's tough. Sometimes we get defensive when people are encouraging us because we either feel guilty that we're not doing what we should be doing, or sometimes it hurts because it brings up stuff within us. But all the more, Paul says, encourage one another. And some people say, well, we don't really need to go to church, but that's part of what getting together here on Sunday morning is about. It's about hearing God's word. But sometimes God's word, when you hear that law, it spurs us on because we realize that we're sinful, that we haven't been living the way God wants us to live. But we also hear those words of forgiveness to say that you have a fresh start, you have a new beginning. And so we gather together and we encourage one another, all the more as we see the day of Jesus' return coming. Because how many lives do we have to live? One. When is Jesus coming back? We don't know. And so we live with a sense of urgency. In Greek, the word for encourage is parakaleo, the paraclete, you know, this encouragement. It's also this word of comfort. But it's a call, calling out from alongside of. Part of what Brian's saying is, he said, you know, remember that God is always with you. Remember that God walks alongside of you, and he speaks into our hearts and lives through his word and through the church. God is always with us, Jesus says. But part of us as a church, as we walk together as the body of Christ, it's important to let people into our lives. It's important that when we see people who are hurting, who are going through a hard time, to walk alongside of them Just say, you're not alone. Remember, you're part of a family. Remember that God loves you. We're called from alongside of it. One of the images that the Bible uses is to run the race. We run the race of this life together that some of you are maybe thinking, Pastor, I don't run, all right? I run from my chair to the fridge or the chair to the bathroom, but I don't run any other time, all right? And yet, when we run this race, God says, you don't run it alone. We run it together. And I think it's so important to remember this, because as we run this race together, when you see somebody growing weary, that's ready to give up, what can you do? Encourage them, all right? Don't give up. I see the finish line, all right? Let's just get to that next light post. Let's just get to that next hill. Let's go. You don't give up. We encourage one another. When you see somebody who stumbles, what can you do if you have somebody running along with you? You pick them back up. If we stumble in our sin, we have someone who can pick us back up and encourage us. To the one who is going off the path, hey, that way leads to trouble, right? Come this way. Let's stay on the route that God has given us. And to the one who is hurting, maybe if you just walk with them. All right, hey, let's keep going. One step at a time. Maybe you put your arm around them. The race is a lot more fun when you run it together. When you have someone that when you're ready to give up, they say, all right, let's keep going. And so that's why it's so important that to remember we are better together. We are better when we gather together. And so in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And so this word here for comfort is the same word for encouragement. It's also parakaleo, that same root. And so this God who is a comforter is a God of encourager. So God encourages us in our troubles. And because we have received this encouragement, we comfort others in the same way that we receive this comfort from God, so that as even we suffer sometimes, this comfort from God may overflow into the lives of others. And so you might say, why am I going through this hard time? Why is life challenging? Why is this trouble so hard right now? God can use that in your life to be able to comfort and encourage someone when someone else is going through that in their life. And so God has a purpose. God can bring good out of all the circumstances of our lives. And so I want to close today with just kind of 4 points about encouragement. Ultimately, you can get encouragement from all sorts of self-help books, all right? But biblical encouragement ultimately points to God. It points to the God who is faithful, the God who loves you, the God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, for you. And so it's all so that we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our encouragement is built on this one great truth, that who died for you? Christ died for you. And so we encourage one another in this fact that God loves you, that God never gives up on you, that God is always with you because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And so we look to the cross, we look to Jesus, and remember that God says to us, as he said to his son, you are loved. I forgive you. I am with you. Another thing about encouragement is that a great thing that we can do to encourage others is to help identify and point out the work of God in one another's lives. That when we see God bringing out a gift in someone else, to help them see that. One of the Bible studies I've used before is Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. And he says, you know, that it's wrong for a Christian to ask, well, why isn't God working in my life? Because the truth is, God's always at work. And sometimes we can help each other ask, Why can't I see where God is working in my life? And I think the biggest thing that blinds us to God working in our life is discouragement. That when we're discouraged, discouragement covers the eyes of our heart. Sometimes we give up on God and we give up on others. But as we comfort and encourage one another, it allows us to see God at work in our lives. We also want to encourage one another to walk in a manner worthy to God. Say, hey, let's follow Jesus' words. Let's do what he wants us to do together. And finally, to encourage one another, remembering that how many lives do we have to live? One. When is Jesus coming back? Soon. Soon. And so live your life to the full. Live your lives for Christ, remembering what he's done for you. Let us encourage one another. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the encouragement we have in Christ. As much as we come to church to receive that encouragement through your word, open our eyes and our hearts that we may encourage the people you have placed around us. Lord, there may be people that we've missed opportunities, people in our own family or our workplaces that we haven't encouraged the way that we should have. Lord, grant us the grace to try again, to start over, to have the faith and the spirit of all encouragement, that you may use us to encourage one another. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.